listening to the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast.
This is DJ Peg. Let's go. 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 This is episode 70 of the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast, where we represent Northwest hip hop culture. And today's guest is a legendary DJ from Seattle. He DJed at some of the most popular clubs in the Puget Sound area, Cafe Arizona, Vito's, just to name a very few. He also took me up under his wing when I got into the DJ business. He was the one that kind of showed me the ropes, and I got a funny story I'm gonna tell you guys about later. So without further ado, let me introduce to you DJ Lovesick Larry. What's up with you, bro?
What's happening with your family? Yeah, it was a nice little intro, man. Felt like I was on TV.
Man, you know, I'm doing my homework, bro. I'm doing my homework, man. I'm trying to
right
get better.
Right on, man. Right on. You studying.
Hey, man. So true story on that. So, you know, I'm watching podcasts. I want to be better, right? So I was watching Talib Kweli's podcast, and he said he hates lazy journalism, people that don't take the time to know the people they're interviewing. And I was like, ooh.
Wow.
That hit me in the heart.
So you took it to heart.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Does this make you a journalist?
I don't know. No, I went to school for journalism, but I mean, yeah, I guess.
I guess so, bro. Yeah. Okay, depends on what the questions are. If they get racy, then yeah, the journalist. Oh, good. Now I'm just playing. You know, go ahead.
Right. Hey, man, before we get started, let me get back to the Vito's thing, because I was talking about how, you know, when I first got there, bro. So, you know, when I first got to Vito's, I would warm up for you, right? And I remember one time, man, I'm in there, like, cutting it up. I'm trying to show everybody I got my skills. I'm going back and forth. You laughing because you already know the story. So, anyway, so I'm going back and forth. I'm rocking it. And then you come up to me. You was like, man, don't nobody care about that here, man. Like, they don't want to hear all that scratching and stuff, man. Just play the music. And I was like, damn. But that was one of my first lessons, though. Like, they really don't care, bro. Know what I mean?
No, they only DJs that are in the room care.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or that one person that really knows about a DJ, they care too.
Right. But besides that, nobody cared, man. And mind you, this is like 9:15, so there's like, you know, 10 people in there. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But, man, I've always appreciate you that, bro. And one other thing before we get started, too. Man, I warmed up for you for about a year until I had the confidence to be like, hey, bro, can I go second? And, man, you didn't even hesitate. You was like, oh, yeah, man, if you want to go second, go ahead. And I was like, damn, man, that was hella cool. But I paid my dues, bro. I didn't come in asking to, you know, take the prime time. I felt that right, I earned right. my way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, most definitely. I remember it just like that. Yeah, you did. You cut away, you sat me back, you did your thing, you come early, blah, blah, blah. And then one day you said, hey, man, you think I could do that? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know what I mean? Because I was, even back then, I was the same way. It was just like, after you've done it for so long, mind you, that was after the cafe years, too.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, after you've done it for so long, man, it's nothing to let somebody else get in there. I don't know what the new generation does, but I know in my generation, it was a lot easier for us to, we all got along, you know what I mean? And we were able to play together, you know what I mean? There was a few hiccups here and there, you know what I mean? And those DJs know who they are, so I don't have to point them out. But for the most part, it was always love across the board. I could call up a cat and be like, hey, man, let me get on. Oh, yeah, for sure, come through. Now I'm going to play out your crates. You know what I mean? One of your moments. You know what I mean? So it was cool. So by the time that you got there, you know what I mean? You was ready to go when it was time for you to go. And you did it.
Thank you.
From that point on, you know what I mean? You made ways. That's what I like about you. You made your own way. If somebody didn't pull you in, you would just do it yourself.
Yeah.
You throw your own kicks.
Yeah, man. And that's because I tell people I come from the school of C-Spot. You know what I mean? I mean, I never worked for C-Spot, but I learned, you know what I mean?
So. Yes, that's exactly how it was done, man. Man, if ain't nobody gonna put you on, then I just put myself on.
You goddamn right.
But that's what I do admire about how you did it. Because right. not everybody was gonna put you on. You know what I mean? Back then they were real kind of clicky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had to know the right promoter to do the right things, you know what I mean? If I didn't know Cun, you think Cun would have put me on Virgo parties?
No.
I doubt it.
The only reason why I even did a Virgo party because me and Tundi went to school together, so if it wasn't for that.
Right. Back then, it was really all about who you know. I don't know what it's like now.
Right.
I still kind of deal with the same people that kind of move and operate the same way.
Right.
But for the most part, yeah, I don't know how it is now, but I just know back then. You had to know somebody, and if you knew the right person, you ended up in all the right spots.
Yep, and I just happened to be cool with Keek, Cun, and whoever mm-hmm. else name starts with a K. I just knew him, you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know what I mean? So
that's a good one.
Yep. Hey, man, so let's get to this first question, bro.
What's that?
What was the first equipment you used when you started DJing?
What was I on? I was on the realistic belt driven turntable, straight arm. You had to put a quarter on the needle to keep it down right because it was too lightweight. It was mainly for house, you know, house equipment.
Right.
But yeah, and I, if I'm not mistaken, you didn't even have a ground wire. You didn't need it back then. You just plugged that joint in and kept it moving.
Whoa, we got a mixer, bro. Yeah.
On the realistic. I don't know which number it was, but it was, I had the one with the fader and the original one with the peak meters, the little stick peak meters.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, these cats don't know nothing about that, though.
Does Radio Shack even exist anymore?
I don't think so. I think they went bankrupt.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah, the realistic brand itself, if you have any of that stuff, I know a couple DJs, I'm sure if I called them, they probably got a realistic mixer. I bet you Funk Daddy got one. Shouts out Pimp. Bet you he got one.
I bet you, and Supreme LaRock.
Supreme LaRock's probably going to have one. Skill, DJ Skill, probably going to have one. There's a couple people that may have them, but I would love to have one.
Yep.
You honestly, know, that would be great.
I'm glad you mentioned Skill, man. I got to get Skill on this podcast, and I got to get his son Famous on this podcast.
Bro, royalty right there, bro.
Yeah.
Royalty.
Yep, for
Those
sure.
Those cats made me decide to be a club DJ versus being one of those flashy DJs with legs and backbones and elbows and... Now, they made me not want to do what they do because that was too much.
Now, which is crazy was because my second question mm-hmm. was, what inspired you to DJ in clubs?
Well, for one, it was Paul Thompson and Robin Summerize, old school cats. A lot of people ain't going to know who they are. Right. You know what I mean? And some people may. You know what I mean? Like your auntie, you know what I mean, may know who they are. You know what I mean? But they're the ones that really put me on. And my man, DJ Lee, shouts out. My man's still up on the hill. We used to live on Beacon Avenue.
Right.
And he used to throw these parties in his basement. Hmm. And when he threw these parties, everybody was coming around, but he was the DJ. So I just go up there just to watch him. I didn't care about no bros. I just wanted to see him DJ.
Right.
And watching him do it is what really inspired me. And then when I got my club gigs, or started working in these clubs, Paul Thompson, Robin Summerize, man, they're the ones that really allowed me to see big crowds and work with real people and put me in really good positions for me to get to those Cafe Arizonas and all those other spots that I was able to do, the Pier 70s and Jersey Sports Bar. You know what I mean? All those things came from Robin Summerize and Paul.
Okay.
Because they got me hooked up with Tibbs, and then Tibbs took me to another level on some other shit. That's how I got there, bro. Knowing the right people at the right time.
Bro, you did some major clubs. I'm hearing you talk. I mean, besides Cafe Arizona, but Pier 70, They don't even know, bro.
Yeah, Fierce 70, man. And I was doing that with Khan. So Khan kind of, you know, put his arms around me back then and kind of pulled me into that. And then Tibbs was involved with that. So by me getting in there with Khan, then I got to holler at Tibbs and finally got on his team. And it just snowballed from there, you know what I mean, to all the hottest spots that kind of popped off wrapped around these groups. Right. And I just happened to be part of these groups. That's what gave me that exposure. That was before Facebook, you know what I mean?
Right.
During the first, you know, MySpace eras and all that, that's when that all came in the play. It allowed me to shine because of a flyer versus because of a post. It was those were the days, man. Today, the market's flooded. It's hard.
Yeah. You know, and
it's,
man,
hard for these guys.
One more thing, I'm going to get off this subject too, man, but like you said, Pier 70, bro, I'm telling you, the Pier 70 just brought back a ton of memories. But you know what also, man, we did? We could kick it in the parking lot and nothing would jump off. Maybe a scuffle, but that's
maybe,
it.
Maybe. And if it did, it was, and that's exactly what it was, scuffling.
Right.
Fights, low punch. Yeah, fuck you, you know, all that. All of that was in the parking lot. But other than that, what we have in parking lots today, or just the scuffles that happen on the downtown and all these little areas that we have out here, bro, they don't even compare. They're not scuffles out here.
Yeah.
You know, they're murders and all kinds of things are going on. So,
damn.
Yeah, we were lucky. We grew up in a good time, man.
Yeah.
We had fun.
And which also goes to my next question. How do you feel about the club scene back then and how the club scene is now?
Well, you know, I think the biggest part about the club scene now is technology. Hmm. You know what I mean? Back then, there was a little tech, but it wasn't where everybody is so wrapped up into their phones.
True.
You know what I mean? In today's club versus yesterday's club, you had to talk to the chick, you had to work your way, you had to really buy that drink.
Right.
You know what I mean? You had to get on your game because you don't know if you're going to see her anymore. There was, like I said, no Facebook, no none of that, no Snapchat, none of that. So you had to get on your game back then. Today's club scene, you know what I mean, from what I can tell, it's a lot of internet music or things that aren't really in the mainstream, you know what I mean? They're not really breaking new Jay-Z's and new this and new that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's just different, you know what I mean? And then you got the cell phone and the Snapchats and the TikToks and all that. So everybody's in there too busy looking at themselves at their phone on a live. Right. So I think the vibes, they're just not the same, you know what I mean? I watched my son play. And when I watched my son play at one of his events, they seem to be engaged, but I can look down on the crowd and you can still see them on their phones and this and the other. You know what I mean? It's just weird to me. You know, it just is what it is. You know what I mean? I can't knock the way they do it versus the way I do it. I don't want to be my parents. You know what I mean? But I will say that we really engaged with the DJ and the vibe of that room when we was out kicking it back in those days. You remember the days at the pier.
Yeah.
You remember the days at Cafe where you were vibing, standing on the lip right there, looking across the dance floor and just kicking it right there. You didn't even have to get to the dance floor. And you didn't have your phone in your face taking selfies and posting them on Facebook. You were kicking it.
Right.
Today, they're so busy taking pictures of themselves and looking all party. You know what I mean? The vibe isn't right, at least not to me. You know, maybe if that's what they like, if that's their thing, then that's their thing.
Right.
But for me, you know what I mean? I guess I appreciate it because it was my era, but it could still be that way, but this, the tech, it's too much.
Yeah. Now, I will say this too, though, bro, and this is just for me. Also, I feel like the streaming has kind of killed the way DJs mm-hmm. rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I noticed. Like, I get way more requests, and half the shit I get ain't even popular. Like, so just last week, bro, I'm DJing. Dude want to hear this song from a guy from KC, Kansas City, right? And mm-hmm. he kept saying, man, they're going to love it. I'm like, bro, man, ain't nobody going to like this song. They're going to love it. He kept bugging me. Finally, he paid me $20. He said, hey, man, I promise you. So he paid me the $20. I played the song, and it didn't do shit. Nobody liked it.
Right.
And here's the thing. It wasn't a bad song. It just wasn't popular. You know what I mean?
It wasn't. Yeah, that's what it is. It wasn't popular.
And but now before the cell phones, see, you would let me take you on a journey. You would let me play what's hot. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I was the doctor. Here's two pills. Call me in the morning. It was a great move. It was a good marriage between the artist and the DJ and the crowd.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now the crowd wants to be the DJ, and they just want you to execute their vision versus executing your vision, you know what I mean, of what a party is supposed to look like. But that's, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, because of course it gives us access to everything that we need.
Right.
But I'm mad that the public knows that we can do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? More than anything, because I would just rather keep that to myself. At one point, I was able to do that. They'd ask me if I had some. I could always say yeah, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to find it on one of my services.
Look, nigga, let's keep it a buck. We had that secret for about 10 years that we knew we could download anything.
Secret, you know what I mean? And then I had software prior to that that I could go and get shit real quick while I was working online, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I never told that to nobody because that was my secret, so I could say no or yes if they gave me something that was trash.
Right.
But now they know. It's funny because I can tell them, be like, nah, I never heard it. I don't think I have it. They say, well, they'll just look at me and then they'll point at my computer like, well, can't you just look it up? I'm like, man, I'm working. At first, I used to tell them, I can't download music and DJ at the same time.
Right.
But now they know that you can stream it. Why are you playing? It's just like, oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't want them to know, bro. It was a secret.
None of us did.
Yeah, that we should have kept to ourselves.
Right.
For some reason, we told everybody.
Exactly. Man, let me get to this next question. This is a good one, man. So I know you made mixtapes, bro. You had a nice little mixtape game. Kind of explain to my listeners, man, how you was making money off mixtapes.
Man, mixtapes at one time, man, paid the rent. Before 9/11, I ate so good on mixtapes. Shout out Mr. Network in Tacoma. Man, he sold so many. He sold so many mixtapes. Shout out to Guy. And Furl, man, for ARS, they sold hella mixtape for me. Bro, I mean, mixtape game, man, it was good back in the days because that's what people had in their cars, you know what I mean?
Right.
And once 9/11 hit, everything kind of changed, you know what I mean? For one, everybody who was buying mixtapes mainly were my military people, you know what I mean, people that didn't normally live here. You know what I mean? Then I had a few fans, of course, that was buying them, but I was so consistent. You know what I mean? It was a mixtape came out every month on the 1st.
Okay.
No matter what. I was consistent every month on the 1st. I drop a new mixtape. You know what I mean? They called them Unmixed Editions. So I was just dropping them constantly. So I would just go travel around to each of the stores once a week and drop off 20 and 10 batches. I'd call them up. What you need? Okay. And I'd sit up all night long burning CDs. I remember at one point, one at a time. Then I got a CD burn stack, and I was burning them 10 at a time.
Yeah.
With maybe two or three of them going bad because, you know, back then they would just get corrupt or some bullshit would happen. But,
right.
Bro, and making my own labels. I just went through the whole gamut of the manufacturing of the CD. You know what I mean? And distributed them to all the mom-and-pop stores, the ARSs of the world. You know what I mean? Everybody who had a little store, I was at them. Barbecue spots, I was at it. You know what I mean? I could eat all over the city, coming in, what's up? Oh, it's not sick. Yeah, I got new music. Hey, man, what you want? You know what I mean? It was great. It was awesome, bro. It was right. The best lick I had in the DJ game.
Say that, dude.
Was the mix city.
Yep. All right, you know. All right, bro. We got to get to some stories, though, okay? Because I got stories I got to tell, at least three of them. So here we go.
So, okay, here we go.
So when I first got into the DJ game, G Prez told me, he said, bro, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to become a local celebrity. And yeah, it's going to be hard for you to be in relationships. I said, nah, bro, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool, man. I don't need all that. Right.
Right.
Until he dropped that commercial. Remember the commercial he put on? He put on BET for Vito's.
Right, I remember. I forgot about the commercial.
I got a clip of that. I'll send it to you, bro.
Yes, me.
So once that commercial dropped, yeah, I lost my mind, man. I lost my mind, man.
Yeah, I forgot about the commercials,
bro. I lost my mind, and you was but you was telling me like, Peg, man, you got to calm down. You're tripping, cause you. I mean, okay, look, we grown. I was knocking everything down. You already know that, bro. I mean,
right.
And he was telling me to slow down. It's like, slow down, bro. Yeah. Thank you. That was another great advice, man. You gave me some good ones. Slow down and keep your phone on. It's two things that I took to heart.
Keep your phone on.
No, not keep your phone on. Keep the same number.
Yeah, keep the same number. I got that. And mind you, I got that from Cud. Was the one that told me that one.
Man, I've been having the same number 15 years.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you already know. So that's one story, man, because I got to thank you because, yeah, I was losing my mind, man. You know. We was the guys, bro.
The TV. Yeah, I remember those little commercials that you could get. If you got wrapped up in one of them, Keek was making the TV commercials.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
And then, so that going to go to the next story. So, you know, eventually we ended up going to Olympia, right? Because we just wanted to make more money. Right, and this is a story that people need to hear. This is some real shit. So we go down to Olympia, and we down there doing our thing, and then we had it rocking. Like we had Olympia rocking. I think you was Fridays, I was Saturdays, or maybe we would switch off. Whatever it was, we had both weekends. We had the Fridays. And
we
the
had
Saturdays.
The whole weekend. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we was on the payroll, so they cut us a check. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then. And then these two younger DJs, they came in. They was like, you pay them guys this? Okay, we'll do it for this. And this is how they undercut us. And I'd never been undercutted before. But they just came in and said, well, we could do what they do. And we'll charge you half the price of what you're paying them. Right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Now this is the lesson learned. So we end up going back to Vito's. We never left Vito's. But, you know, we went back to Vito's. And then that club went belly up.
Yeah, sure did.
Because every DJ, people thinking DJing is easy or they can do it until you have to do it. And then you realize, like, you know, I guess them DJs that thought they could do it for a cheaper price, well, two things was learned. One, you can't do what we do, and you get what you pay for.
And you get what you pay for. And a lot of cats don't even understand that, man, that you get what you pay for. They believe that I can do it cheaper. I got my homeboy who can do it. He's only gonna charge me this. Well, you get what you pay for. That's the only thing I can tell you. You know what I mean? If he does an excellent job and you feel like he did something equivalent to DJ Lovesick or DJ Peg or one of my other nice DJs from back in the days, then so be it. Knock yourself out.
And I tell you what's even crazier than that. When we went back to Vito's, the people in Olympia started coming to Vito's.
Swing out here. Come to the town.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was when they had that club around the corner, too. I forgot about that spot around the corner that we used to smash every weekend.
They were the
truth. They were the ones before we got out there. So everybody was going around the corner. I can't remember the place.
I know.
They would stay open late. After they closed over here, they would all go around the corner.
Yep.
Because they were staying late.
They were the after hours down in Olympia. We shut down at 2, and then they stayed open to 4.
Right.
Damn, man, Olympia used to be cracking.
Ooh, had some good times in Olympia, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, man. We'll move on to the next question.
Yes, sir. All
right. Well, not question, man. One other thing, too. So you put me on the skating rink. Thank you for that. And you said,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man, hardest crowd you ever going to play for.
I was getting to that, bro. Bro, that is by far the hardest crowd it took me to learn the rhythm. It took me to learn the bounce. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I didn't think playing roller skate songs would be so difficult, but man, bro, how did you learn how to? Because you've been doing it for like 10 years. How did you learn how to do it?
Man, actually, I've been, this is my 14th year out there in Federal Way. But
Wow.
in general, it's been about 20 years I've been working with them. So I worked with them all throughout the club years too. So I would slide in there and knock that out and then go do something else. But the reason why you can, I know that anyone that's a good DJ could actually do it. The only difference is they just want you to stay consistent with the groove.
Right.
And a lot of DJs would not do that. You know what I mean? They would change, the groove may be the same or the beat per minute may be the same, but the groove is not. You know what I
Right.
mean? So you have to kind of keep it there. And these older skaters, you know what I mean? They want that groove, that old school groove. This newer group is almost I truly believe between me and DJ Sketch. It is our fault that this newer generation that's coming out to the skating rinks that I work at, they want to hear more of a club vibe. You know what I
Right.
mean? More of a Chris Brownish. You know what I mean? That kind of move. You know what I mean? More thug R&B. They want to hear it in that format. But it's all about the groove. And the customer base that comes to these events, they're constant. They come every weekend, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. So they know what they want to hear, and they know what works with their skates or how they like to groove. And that's what makes it hard, is trying to figure them out and find that happy medium with them.
Right.
And if you can find that, then you're good. But I will say that even to this day, I still work with them, and they are still the hardest crowd I deal with
Yeah, I
to
already
this
know.
point because they're so picky. You know what I mean? They want to start. They'll go from loving this style of music to loving this style of music because he's from the East Coast.
Right.
So they bring an East Coast DJ in and they love what he's doing. And then the week after that, they want me to try to imitate what he was doing. And then they don't like it no more and they want me to go back to what I was doing. You know what I mean? So it just goes back and forth with them. But it's a good crowd. And if you get locked in with them right, they'll love you forever. So I think I've done good dealing with them for 20 plus years. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? They're cool.
I remember the one time, man, the one dude, he got under my skin, bro. I remember I told you, I said, "Hey, man, I'm about to come out." You was DJing on a Sunday. I was doing Wednesdays. And it was a Sunday. And I was like, "Hey, man, I'm about to come out to the skating rink, man. I need to talk to this dude." And
Yeah,
he
I
was like,
remember
"Peg."
that.
He's like, "Peg, don't fight this, man. You already knew what I was thinking about. I really wanted to punch this dude in the face, but
Yes, bro, and I know how you feel because I've had those same arguments. Mind you, I've had those arguments and quit and
right.
was gone for four. In this 20 years, I left for four of them
Wow.
and
Yeah,
then came
man.
back.
Because it was just the way he was talking to me, though, man. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Da 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 da. Something. And then, he'll tell me, would play a song. I play a song. And he was like, "You're not playing it right." Like, nigga, how else am I supposed to play a song? How am I not playing your song right? Like.
Right. Or they would get mad at me because I had a remix of the song. You know what I
Wow.
mean? Just that, it could be that small of a thing where it's the same music. It's just there may be a rapper or somebody else may sing before the original verses start happening. And I've had them come on, "Oh man, you tricked me, man. I thought it was my song." It is your song. This is the remix. This is what I mean by people don't even recognize stuff like that no more. You know what I mean? When we was younger, you dropped the remix, they were like, "Oh, that's the remix, they're on it." You know what I mean?
Right.
Now they don't care. Where's the original? Where's the original? You know
Yeah.
what I mean? That's where their mind's at, because that's what they know.
You already know. Well, hey, bro, look, man, I appreciate you being on, man. We had to do this a second time because the file got corrupted the first time. So, man, I appreciate you letting
Right,
me do this
right, right.
again. You know what I
No
mean?
problem.
Oh, how can people find you on social media?
Man, you can find me at Lovesick206 everything.
Man.
Last time we talked about that, and I went and made sure that it was everything.
Yep, that's called consistent identity. So
Consistent identity. Yeah,
that's what it's
so
called.
you can find me, man. I'm out there, man.
All right.
I do all kinds of stuff, but I'm on that internet still. So.
All right, cool, bro. Well, man, I appreciate you being on, man. And until next time,
Right
bro.
on. Okay. Till
Peace.
next time.
Yep,
Peace.
peace. Man, once again, thanks for listening to the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast. It's all about representing Northwest hip-hop culture. All episodes are available on Apple, Spotify, and major streaming platforms. I truly appreciate everyone that supports the podcast, and I'm going to keep hitting you with new episodes every week. Until next time, peace.